To start things off this morning, I need a volunteer, willing victim. I saw the kid. Simeon, you want to come up? Your mom and dad are going to love this. All right. So Simeon, I don't know which week I said this, but a couple weeks ago I mentioned that we have three doors up here, and I feel like we should be doing a game show. So we're going to do that. I want you to pick a door. And behind one of the doors, there's a prize, and I can't tell you which one. So do you want the blue door, the brown door, or the green door? The brown door, because it's in the middle. Now, here's the question I have for you. You pick the brown door, and you're hoping the prize is behind the brown door. Does the blue door have any meaning to you this morning?
Probably not.
Probably, the blue door does not matter, assuming that you were right on the brown door. So we could probably just get rid of this door. Thank you for picking the light one to move. The other two are really heavy. So now, we're just going to get rid of that, because we're ending the series today, so we can start getting rid of doors. Now, you're hoping this door has the prize. You're hoping this door matters.
Yeah.
What if I told you that this door, the green door, had the prize?
Then
the green door had the prize, does your brown door matter at all? Because really only one door matters.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you another chance. Okay? And I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just going to give you another opportunity. Do you want to keep the brown door or do you want to have the green door? You're going to do green. So I'm not going to move the brown door because it's really heavy and I don't want to pull a muscle this morning. But we're going to say the green door. So the green door is the one that you hope matters. Well, what if I told you you were right? And then the green door, actually, I don't have it behind there because it wouldn't fit. But I have, and mom and dad are going to be so happy about this, I have half a dozen cupcakes. Allison made chocolate and strawberry cupcakes yesterday. So because you picked the one door that matters, you get to... Please share those with your family. Otherwise, they may get really upset if you're all sugared up this afternoon. Bravo, Simeon. So the interesting thing is that in that game, only one door really matters. The other doors are there, but they don't really matter. So as we wrap up our series today on doors, I want to spend some time talking about the one door that really matters. A few weeks ago, we looked at a picture of a hallway of doors, and we used this analogy, and we said, as we open doors to lead people to Christ, we kind of have this hallway mentality. That as I open a door and share the gospel, as you open a door, we lead people eventually down this hallway where we hope they meet Jesus. And we talked about how we don't know where in that hallway we're meeting people. You may be the first time someone's hearing about Christ, or you may be that person that finally opens that last door and they understand the gospel and they understand the love of Jesus. We understand there that we each need to open the door or the doors that God is calling us to open. And so we keep asking this question, what doors are you opening? How are you reaching the people in your life, in your world, with the love of Jesus? But this morning we're going to wrap things up by understanding that the truth of it is, none of our efforts are worth anything without the one door that really matters. Without coming to Jesus, without bringing the love of Jesus into the conversation, none of our efforts mean anything. All of our work, all of our effort, all of the time and the money that we invest, nothing means anything without introducing people to Christ. When we open a door, we need to share Jesus. Many of the doors that we use them to get conversations going, to engage people, but eventually we have to arrive at the one door that really matters, and that's Jesus. And so we can look at some of our outreach ministry. We can say, hey, we're having Upward Soccer. We've been talking about it a lot as we're gearing up. But without sharing the gospel with these kids, without these families, Upwards doesn't mean anything. I'm saying with Monday Night or any of the outreach ministries we have, we have to arrive at that one door and share the message of salvation through Jesus. You can think of it kind of like a hotel. You arrive at a hotel, you enter the front door, and then there might be another door that takes you into the lobby. And then you get your room key, and you go through the elevator door, and then you go upstairs to whatever level your room's on, and you go into the hallway door, and eventually you arrive at your room door. Now, which door do you only care about? The room door. But if you went through that process and you stopped at the elevator door and you got on the elevator and you said, you know what, I think I'll just stay here tonight. It looks cozy. I'm just going to go up and down all night. That wouldn't make sense. Because your goal is to arrive at the one door that matters, your hotel room door. And it's the same with sharing Christ. We engage people, we get their attention, we share with them our stories with the goal to meet them with the story of Jesus, to help them meet Jesus. And this is the process that we're in. So this morning, I want to spend some time looking at Jesus' final words, or some of Jesus' final words with his disciples. Because Jesus talks about this very idea. We're going to be in John chapter 14, but let's quickly just talk about what's happening in John chapter 13 as some background to this. John chapter 13, Jesus is with his disciples at the Last Supper. This is the last meal that Jesus will eat with his disciples before he goes, meets Pilate, and is crucified. In John chapter 13, they sit down to dinner, and some interesting things happen. First, they sit down to dinner, and they realize there are no servants in the room, and so there's no one to wash their dirty feet from walking out in the dust and dirt all day. And so Jesus does something very unique. He stops, and he washes their feet. Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and he kind of shows them what it means to be a leader in the kingdom of God by serving others. And this kind of startles the disciples. And then as soon as he finishes washing their feet, and they're kind of shaken by this experience, he starts having some very awkward conversations with them along the lines of, hey, by the way, one of you is going to betray me. What did you say, Jesus? One of you is going to betray me. And oh, by the way, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. So we've got Jesus washing their feet, we've got betrayal, we've got Peter's denial, and in the midst of this heavy moment, Jesus then says, do not let your hearts be troubled. How can they not be troubled? Things don't sound so good. We're talking about, you know, Jesus is stepping into an interesting role, trying to teach us something we don't quite understand. We're talking about betrayal, we're talking about denial, and Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. This is John chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be with where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? So think about it. Jesus starts off by saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be troubled by all these things that are about to take place, the betrayal and the denial. Don't be troubled by these things. This is all part of the plan. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'll come back and get you. And if you think about it, in the middle of our chaotic world, all the craziness that we're living through and struggling through, both in our personal lives and in our world scope, we can find our strength and our hope in being with Jesus. And I feel like Jesus says to us, don't let your hearts be troubled. This is all part of the plan. I'm in the midst of all of this. So I feel like the disciples probably resonated with that statement, but Thomas raises an interesting question. Jesus, you tell us you're going to prepare a place for us, you're going to come back and get us, we know where you're going, and Thomas says, but how can we know the way? How can we know the way to where you're going? How can we get to eternity with you? In essence, how can we be saved? And Jesus answers simply in verse 6. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So how do we come to eternity with Jesus? How do we arrive to be with God the Father? How do we come through the one door that really matters? And Jesus puts it simply, through him. He is the way, the only way, the truth and the life. No one can come to God the Father except through Jesus. And so we come to our second point this morning, is that Jesus reminds the disciples and he reminds us that he is the only way to heaven. We talk about sharing the love of Jesus with the world. We need to understand that Jesus is the only way to forgiveness and to salvation. And as we look in our world today, this is not a popular idea. We like the idea, and the world likes the idea, that all roads lead to paradise. As long as I try, I can live in eternity with God. Some people would consider saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They say, well, that's really exclusive. You have to be on the in club. You have to be part of Jesus' team, otherwise you're not part of the select group. But as I thought about it this week, I feel like it's kind of the opposite. It's not exclusive. Moreover, it's simplistic. It's so simple. It's not about doing enough good things or living a certain way or doing the right things. It's simply through Jesus. Jesus says, you want to know how to come to where I'm going to be with God the Father? I am the way. Not do X, Y, and Z, simply, I am the way. And we talked about this briefly a few weeks ago with the story about Peter and Paul when they talked about what they called the truth of the gospel. And Paul's point was, the truth of the gospel is faith in Jesus is the way. That's it. Faith in Jesus alone is all you need. Because in the story we had looked at, there was a group called the circumcision group who was trying to add stuff to the gospel. Well, if you want to be in with God, you have to believe in Jesus, and then you have to do X, Y, and Z. And Paul said the truth of the gospel is it is through Jesus alone. Faith in Jesus is the way, and that's it. There's nothing you have to do or earn or achieve. It's pretty simple. Put it in these terms, you can say Jesus is not like an arcade prize shop. We've all taken the kids to the arcade and they play all the games and get the little tickets, and then they go up to the prize store and they have to have the right number of tickets to redeem for the prize they want. And sometimes we look at Jesus and say, well, apparently I have to earn credits. I have to be good enough. And if I have enough credits, then I earn my way into heaven. But Jesus says, no, I am the way. When you believe in me, when you understand my love for you, you are saved. Another way to say is salvation is not like the proverbial scales at the end of your life. And this was something that goes way back to the Egyptians. They believed that there was, at the end of your life, your good deeds and your bad deeds would be weighed. And as long as your good deeds outweighed the bad, you were good to go. But Jesus says, no, I am the way. All you need to do is believe in me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Whoever believes in me, whoever knows me, comes to the Father. Eternity with God is simply through Jesus. He is the only way, the only door. And the cool thing is we don't have to do anything. We simply need to understand who we are and what God has done for us. To understand that we were born separated from God. That our sins pull us away from God. And it's interesting to think about the fact that even when we are born with sin. The assumption is, well, we're born good and eventually we start doing bad stuff. But Scripture tells us, no, we all have sin. Starting with Adam and Eve when they gave us the first sin, it passes down through the generations. We all have sin and it separates us from God. And the reality is there's nothing we can do to get rid of it. You can't do enough good work to cover over your sin. You can't give enough money to the church. That doesn't work. Even in the Old Testament, God had set up the sacrificial system and told the Israelites, if you come and you bring a lamb or a goat, you can sacrifice that animal and it'll cover your sins for a time. And that system just didn't work. And we learn as we look through the story of Scripture, we can't do enough good, we can't do enough stuff to outweigh the bad. Yet God, knowing this is the reality that we live in, God made a way to remove the stain of sin and to replace it with the perfection of Christ. John 3:16, the verse that we know so well, simply says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. To understand that God made a way for us by giving his Son because he loved us. When Jesus went to the cross, when he died in our place, in your place and in my place, he provided the payment for our sins. He covered our sins. He cleansed our sins away. And they are forgiven. And instead of our sin and the stain of sin, we are given the perfection of Christ. All because of the love of God for you and for me. And so Thomas's question to Jesus in John chapter 14, how can we know the way? It's simply to say God loved us enough to make a way through Jesus. He is the way, the only way, and it's simply by knowing him. And as I processed it, I thought, you know, I don't know that we can fully understand and comprehend the depths of God's love for us. To give his only son, not just to send him to earth and have him hang out here for a couple years, but to give his son knowing that he would die and suffer in our place. But this is the essence of the message that we carry. When we talk about opening doors, the essence of the message we carry is that God loves you, that God has made a way for you. Now, this week, as I was driving home one night, starting to process where God was leading this message, a song came on the radio. It was called Drops in the Ocean by Hawk Nelson. And as I listen to it, I'm going, my goodness, this is exactly what I feel that God wants me to share this week, talking about the deep, deep love of Jesus. And so I'd like to share this song with us this morning. It's about 3 minutes long. But the song is written from the perspective of Jesus, that he's singing to, he's speaking to us. And some of the lyrics say, I want you as you are, not as you ought to be. I am for you, not against you. If you want to know how far my love can go, just how deep and just how wide, if you want to see how much you mean to me, look at my hands and look at my side. If you can count the times I'll say you're forgiven, it's more than the drops in the ocean. And I just felt as I was driving this week and hearing this song that it so encapsulated this message that you and I carry as we open doors. And I just felt that we should maybe share the song this morning. So just, we're going to pause in the sermon for a second just to listen to the song. And I want you just to think about the message that we carry and the love of God that we get to share with the world.
I want you as you are, not as you ought to be. Won't you lay down your guard and come to me? The shame that grips you now is crippling. It breaks my heart to see you suffering. 'Cause I am for you, I'm not against you. If you want, drops in the ocean. Don't think you need to settle for a substitute when I'm the only love that changes you. And I am for you, I'm not.
So that's the essence of the message that we carry. God says, I'm for you, I'm not against you, and I love you, and I've done all this for you. And we carry that into the world to tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he opens a way for us because of his great love for us. And we get to share that message. But if we don't share this message, if we don't tell people about the love of God, then we're not really opening a door. And we've been talking for a month now about this metaphorical idea about how we open doors, how we share this message. Everything we do should point to this one truth. Jesus loves you. And we sang that as kids. That's the message that we carry. And so as we talk about this and we wrap up our exploration of doors today, I feel like I can't finish things up without briefly looking at Jesus' own words about doors. It was startling to me. Jesus actually talks about doors. And I thought, wow, maybe that's where I got this idea from. I don't know. But in the book of Revelation, before we get to all the end of the world stuff, there are seven letters to seven churches where Jesus speaks to these churches saying, hey, you're doing this really well, but you need to check yourself on this and maybe think about some things. And in the church of Laodicea, Jesus speaks to them directly about doors. And it's just simply in Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And it's just kind of a mind shift change a bit to think about. We talk about how we are called to open doors to lead people to Christ. But when we open the door, Jesus is standing there. When we want to introduce people to the love of God, he is already there. Jesus says, I am at the door and I am knocking. We don't have to look for him. He is standing at the door waiting. And this is so helpful for us to realize that when we go and we do our mission that God has given us, when we go and share the love of Jesus with the world, we don't have to help, hey, you need to find Jesus. No, Jesus wants you. Jesus is looking for you. Because again, we sometimes think about that we need to earn God's favor. Yet Jesus tells us, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I want you to be with me. He says, I've died for you and I've paid the price for you. And again, making it somewhat simplistic, we can look at it like the grocery store. You go to the grocery store, you load your cart up with groceries, you go up, you pay for your groceries, and then you leave them there and you go home. How many of you would pay for a cart full of groceries and not take them home? Of course not. You want your groceries. You paid for your groceries. And Jesus looks at you and he looks at me and he says, I paid for you. I paid the price for your sins because I love you. I want you. And so I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And we are Christ's ambassadors. We are called to go and make disciples. We are called to open doors and share this message with the world. And so over and over again, I keep asking, what doors are you opening? Are you showing people the one door that really matters? How are you doing this? Are you following the Holy Spirit as he guides you in this process? And so this month, I've given you some small steps to do this. We started off 5 weeks ago with a very practical, literally open a door for someone this week. And I got to hear some really cool stories of some of our kids doing that, and it was really great to hear that. And then I said, hey, well, now that we take it one step further, invite someone to church. We talked about maybe spending some time this month reevaluating how we represent Jesus, both in our words and on our Facebook posts and whatnot. And we've been trying to think about how can we engage people in new ways, or how can we engage new people. And so as we wrap this up today, I don't want us to think, okay, well, we're done with the series, we're done. As Matt prayed this morning, we need to keep doing these things. And so I would encourage us to keep looking for new ways to engage with the people that God has put into our lives. Easter is only a few weeks away, and this is the time of year that everybody goes to church, whether they think they need to or not, because it's Easter. Invite someone to church for Easter. In fact, why don't you go ahead and invite them now to join us for our Easter series that starts next week? Hey, if you're going to come to Easter on Easter Sunday, why don't you come now? Just, you know, kind of get warmed up for Easter. Maybe you should take someone to lunch this week or take someone to coffee this week and just engage with them. Share your life story with them and tell them about how God has affected your life. How God has changed your world. Another thing I was thinking about this week is we're about halfway through our small group series talking about the mission of God, and that will continue for a few more weeks even as we transition into the Easter series. But I thought, you know, we're talking about opening doors. We're talking about the mission of God in small group. Why doesn't your small group discuss what can you as a group do? Go serve a meal at the soup kitchen. Go reach your neighborhood. I don't know. But as a group, can you discuss, can you think of a way to practically put this into action? Because we have to remember, this isn't an option that Jesus gives us. Jesus didn't say, oh, you know, if you think about it, it might be nice if you. Jesus says, I want you to go and make disciples. This is my mandate. Go and do this. And so we are called to open doors. We are told to go and do it, not just maybe if we'd like to. And so as we wrap things up, the question is, are we passionately following God and going for Him? Is this something that gets us excited? And I know some of us are introverts, and some of us don't like talking to people. But this is something that God tells us to do. And we should have a passion for reaching the world for Jesus. This apparently was a week of music for me, because right after I heard Drops in the Ocean, the very next song on the radio was a song called Start a Fire by a group called Unspoken. And I was like, okay, that's the second half of the message. And so we're going to listen to that song real here briefly, just because I feel like as we wrap this, I want us to think about this. But the song talks or says, I hear your voice in my head, God, saying they need to go, they need to know, and I need to go. And I was like, well, that's the message of what we're saying. We need to go. We carry the news that you have come to save. Only you can save. So as we listen to this song, I want you just to think about, are you going? Are you opening doors? Are you sharing the love of Jesus with the people that you meet?
This world can be cold and bitter. It feels like we're in the dead of winter, waiting on something better. But am I really gonna hide forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine, let your light shine for all to see. And start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying, let it burn so brightly that everyone
So if nothing else over the last 5 weeks, I think that's what I want us to hear, is that we need to fan into flame, start a fire in me, God, that I would go and reach the world. Because Jesus says in Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is our mission. It's our job. It's our mandate. Let's go and open some doors for Jesus this year. Would you pray with me? God, it's been fun just to kind of think about this metaphor of opening doors and hallways of doors and cupcakes behind doors. But God, the reality is you have called us to share the message of love with the world. God, it's so amazing to think about the great love that you have for us, that you would send your only Son to teach us about the kingdom of God and then to give his life to make a way so that we can be in that kingdom, so that we can be with you in heaven, Lord. And God, you have given us this message to tell people how much you love them, how you've made a way for them. And so God, I pray that you would inspire us, encourage us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit as we go out into the world and then we share this message. As we open doors, Lord, that we would just show people and tell people about the love of Jesus. God, would you start a fire within us that this would be the burning passion of our hearts? We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who gave his life for us. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together as we close.